Welcome to a very special edition of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. My name is Stephen Van Patten. I will later be joined by fellow co-hosts Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, and Denise Tapscott, as well as a very special guest. Now, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know we entertain a variety of topics, but tonight we're buttoning up for a focus on the legendary classic gothic soap opera, the original Dark Shadows, which is celebrating its 57th anniversary this year. The show was created by horror icon Dan Curtis, a man who terrified and would inspire generations of dark fiction writers with such televised treasures as Kolchak the Night Stalker and Trilogy of Terror. But Curtis's Dark Shadows featured Barnabas Collins, who, as a vampire portrayed by the late Jonathan Frid, was complex, about as complex a personality as you'd ever seen out of a vampire in literature or live action. This interview is such a big deal that we made steps to let the entire Horror Writers Association in on it. And since we are currently occupying the Galactic Terror's living room, we asked HWA New York's program director, James Chambers, to say a few words before we really get into it. So, James, please take it away.
Stephen, hey, thank you so much for bringing Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans to Galactic Terrors. This is like a match made in heaven or hell. I'm not sure which, but
purgatory.
Right. All right. There we go. But yeah, thank you for the opportunity to say a few words. Welcome to everybody who is joining us tonight. I hope we're getting some of our Galactic Terrors regulars here for this special presentation. Galactic Terrors is an online reading series sponsored by the New York chapter of the Horror Writers Association. And the Horror Writers Association is an international networking and support group for people who write and create dark fiction of all kinds. Galactic Terrors runs the second Thursday of every month. I had to think there for a second. And you can check us out on this YouTube channel. Hopefully you'll like and subscribe. And I will, in just a few minutes, throw a quick link in the news for our newsletter into the chat. So if anybody is interested to follow future Galactic Terror transmissions, please go ahead and sign up for that. We are not a spammy newsletter. And I'm also going to put up shortly the link for Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, which is a long-running podcast that you should all go and check out as soon as you finish up here with us tonight in this live broadcast. All right. So, Stephen, are you ready to get things underway?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
All right. I will see you later.
Yes, you will. All right. So, thank you, James. Now, as mentioned before, we're kind of celebrating Dark Shadows, and what better way to do it than to bring out none other than Sharon Smith Lentz, who, well, she played the little sister of a vampire. Now, that's kind of a tough gig, I would say. So, you know what? I'm not going to belay this anymore. I'm just going to get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. She was adorable as Sarah Collins. She's adorable now. Sharon Smith Lentz, folks.
Thank you. I love that you said I was adorable. I'm an old lady.
True. Well, you can still be adorable than you are. So there,
thank you so much.
Sure.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited.
It is. I got to tell you, it is really nice. It's kind of like a little bit of a, it's a thrill. It's like, I can't believe this is actually happening. This is really awesome. I'm going to get into my first question. And I think we sent you some questions. So, you know, you feel free to just let loose. I'm going to tell you right now, I may go off left a little bit, but, you know, it's going to be all good.
That's okay. I may go off left too.
Huh? Oh, I love that. I love that. All right. So the first question I have, seriously. So now, as a child of 8 or 9, did you have a sense of how exceptional you and this work was?
I'm going to say no. I was 10 years old. Well, mm-hmm. I actually turned 10 on the show.
Right.
And when I got the job for Dark Shadows, all I had done was gone on an audition, just like I had a million times before. Mm-hmm. I was not really aware of what I was auditioning for. They just had a call out for a little girl, and I didn't know much else. I had dark hair and freckles, and in the 60s, early 70s, that was very marketable. It was little girl next door, and I had the braids and the whole bit. So I just went on another audition per my agent, and I got a call back to come back a second time. And, you know, they whittle it down. When you first go, there's a lot of little girls in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. You're not completely, well, I wasn't completely aware of what was going on. I just knew that I was there for an audition. They're going to ask me a bunch of questions. I was going to turn in my picture and say what I'd done before. And that's kind of how it went. Not to be, you know, vague about it, but that's what you did. The second audition, there was a lot less little girls. To be honest with you, it came down to two of us. Mm. And it happened to be that the other little girl was a friend of mine, a friend in the business, had crossed paths many times before. And she had a longer resume than me. And her resume, she had been on a couple of other shows as a ghost. Now, at this point, I was getting the idea about the show, that it was bordering on the supernatural. Mm-hmm. So after having gone into the audition and done my little spiel and answered a few questions, I came out fairly confident that she was going to get the part, because she was thin and pale and long blonde hair and big blue eyes. And she had that wispy look to her. And I just thought, well, you know, it's a ghost. She looks a whole lot more like a ghost than me. I got rosy cheeks and freckles, you know. But I was wrong. Next thing I know, we get a phone call to go for costuming. And that was actually the first clue I had that we got the job. I didn't even really know until that point.
Right.
In retrospect, and I've said this before, and this is merely my opinion, but I think that at least one of the reasons why I got that role was not necessarily because of my skill as an actress or that I won anyone over with my effervescent personality. It was that I think I looked more like the family resemblance, Jonathan, Joan Bennett, you know, dark hair, that kind of thing. And I that's just my opinion, you know, but I think that that had a lot to do with why I got the job. Either way, it, I had no idea the storyline. I knew vampire, I knew ghost. I didn't have a clue about the show. I hadn't been watching it. I didn't know about it. It wasn't the kind of thing that I guess my parents promoted or let me watch. I mean, it wasn't a matter of you can or you can't. It wasn't it wasn't on the radar, you know.
Okay.
So no, I didn't really know. I was a very precocious little girl, but at the same time a fairly naive little girl. Mm-hmm. I did what I was told. With a smile. I don't say that in a bad way. Just that, you know, we're going to go up to New York and you're going to go in and you're going to answer questions and you're going to be pleasant and you're going to smile and you're going to do what you're told. And that's what I did. And it was fun. So, yeah.
One other thing that kind of crossed my mind is whether or not you had managed to have fun during that.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. My whole career, as it were, from 5 years old till almost 13 years old was a hoot. Mm-hmm. I have no bad recollections, no horror stories. Commercials that I did were fun. It was a different time, I believe. It was a different time back then in the 60s. Things were much more relaxed, I think, on set and with the adults. And the children were encouraged to have fun. There was always, you know, like a wrangler there, a child wrangler there, and they made sure we had things to keep us busy and no stress. It was just fun. And then when Dark Shadows came along, add the impact of getting to dress up in costumes and having fake stuff all around you, like it was a haunted house or it was Halloween 24/7, fake bats and styrofoam tombstones. And, you know, I was looking at it from the fourth wall, so to speak, I knew there was nothing behind that wall. I knew it was all fake. It was AstroTurf and not real grass. So I wasn't afraid. I had fun with the cameramen. I had fun with the audio guys, the costumers. I was 10 years old and I had pretty much free reign to be, you
know? Okay. Well, now that we got into all of that, I'm going to ask perhaps what may come across as a very superficial question, but it needs to be addressed. And I think people want to know.
Sure.
What was Jonathan Frid like to work with and just, you know, hang out? I mean, obviously you guys didn't like, you know, go to the bar or anything, but you know, I think if any part of this is enviable, I feel like it's, you know, oh, you got to hang out with Jonathan Frid, like the big TV vampire. So whatever you want to share on that, please.
Well, you're right. I was only 10 and I didn't get to hang out at the restaurants and the bars with the rest of the cast.
Right.
I've heard lots and lots of stories over the years about those. And I mean, not bad stories, you know, just I wasn't a part of that. My mother kept me under wraps and away from that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Jonathan is concerned, Jonathan was completely opposite of what Barnabas was, the character that he played. He was extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
Did he mess up lines? Sure, everybody did. That's just part of having a live program like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember him specifically in rehearsals, because in the early morning hours, we would go into a rehearsal room, long banquet tables, big room, where everybody would review their scripts and their lines and their blocking and all of that. And all the adults, without exception, were completely laid back. They're all smoking cigarettes and drinking their coffee, and they had newspaper out and their glasses half down. And everybody was serious about their job, but they also were family. I have no other way to say it. It was family. When you got in there in the morning, some people came in their pajamas practically. And, you know, it was like rolling into the studio and half awake. So I saw him like that, where he was, I can still picture him. He's a big man, physically a big man. I don't know if that's my perception because I was a little girl or not, but in my mind, he's always been a presence, bigger than life to me. And he had big hands. Oh my God, he had big hands. I loved his hands. He was funny. He'd smoking his cigarette. He'd cross his legs and lay back in the chair and have jokes with the other cast members and stuff like that. A lot of those jokes I didn't get. It went right over my head. You know? but he was fun. Nice man. Always treated, and this again sticks out in my mind really, really big. Always treated me like a person. You know, like didn't treat me like a piece of furniture or, oh, that kid, or, oh God, do I have to do this? You know, he was fun with me. He would mess with me. He would cajole me, and I'd be nervous. I'm going to forget that line. Oh my God, I can't, that one word, I just... It doesn't come out right every single time. And he would always be real encouraging to me. And in the show, he's supposed to be my big brother. But I always felt like he was more fatherly to me. Maybe it's big brother stuff. I don't know. I didn't have a big brother. But just a comforting presence, sure of himself. And he kind of imbued that to me. Hey, just do you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here. They picked you. You must know what you're doing. Do you? You know? And when I messed up, which I did all the time, I'm sure, he didn't come down on me. He didn't like, he wasn't disgusted with me. You know? He just, you move on, especially since it was live to tape. It was done very much like theater.
Mm-hmm.
If you messed up, you just kept moving. You just... Yeah. Pick it up wherever you know how to pick it up at. So yeah, it was really good for me that I had him and a couple of the other cast members that also treated me that way. But yeah, Jonathan had a great sense of humor. He was a joy. And after years afterwards, you know, I didn't see him for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I saw him, I guess I was in my 20s, my late 20s. And, you know, we met at a restaurant, not just him and I, there was a group that was meeting at the restaurant, but it was the first time I had seen him in years. Mm. And fortunately, someone had the wherewithal to take a picture of this. So I'm not making it up. It really happened. And this is long before cell phones and whatnot. Sure. And I'm pleased that someone captured it. But he was on one side of the room regaling people with stories and, you know, obviously had a lot of people around him fainting over him. And I came in and really nobody knew who I was because I had short red hair and I was thin and young and 20 something, you know?
Right.
And somebody did recognize me. So in fact, somebody who had invited me recognized me and said to Jonathan, "Jonathan, your sister's here." And without skipping a beat in true actor mode, he turned around and he went, "My little Sarah, you've come back to me," and swooped me up like a baby. And somebody got a picture of it. And I think it's hysterical because that's Jonathan, bigger than life, you know?
An actor's actor. Wow, that's amazing. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it was.
So speaking of him again, you know, I want to take you back to this iconic scene where you've come back to him as a ghost and you're admonishing him.
Mm.
I think he's in the midst of assaulting Dr. Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And you appear and you chill him right out. that just kind of stuck to me because I was like, well, imagine you're actually having to chastise a vampire, so to speak. And you do it beautifully. Because there's this one moment where you're saying, you have to stop hurting people. And he's actually trying to play it off. Like, you don't know. He's like, I'm not hurting people? Me? Like he doesn't say that exactly, but it's something very similar to that. And it always like stuck in my head as like an amazing moment just because, you know, it's like, how often as a little kid do you get to like chastise a vampire? I mean, like, what do you remember from that scene?
Well, she calls him out as a little girl would call out her big brother. And it's like, that's BS. You taught me that evil is wicked. That's understood. The wicked will be punished. So you must be good. And that, you know, he taught her that little rhyme. So she was kind of just throwing it back at him. Don't try to tell me that you're not doing these things. I know that you're doing these things.
Right.
But if you notice in the scene, Jonathan crouches down to her and we're eyeball to eyeball. Mm-hmm. So physically, I don't have the intimidation of him towering over me. I also was given a script that said, that's what you're going to say. So you know, I didn't feel bad about saying it. That's what I'm supposed to say. Again, not to disappoint, but he's not a vampire to me. He's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just letting him know that what he's doing isn't making me happy. And I know that he wants to make me happy. So cut it out. So it's not a little girl addressing a vampire per se. Mm-hmm. It's a sister throwing it back at her big brother. Like, you taught me this lesson and you're not even doing it. So cut it out. But yeah, I do remember that scene. And I remember, again, Jonathan, even though he was crouched down and we were eyeball to eyeball, he was still bigger than life to me. Of course, he had makeup on and, you know, his slicked hair and all of that stuff. So I guess it could have been pretty intimidating. But we had rehearsed this. When he was in street clothes, you know, so the dynamic wasn't, you know, that scary thing, which I've tried to explain to people many, many times over the year with regard to the entire experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say to me, oh, well, weren't you afraid? I mean, there was all this, you know, ghosts and stuff going on in coffins. And to me, again, I was a little girl. I was having fun. It was dress up time. Everything was make pretend. And I didn't have the advantage that the audience had of the storyline, mm-hmm. you know, stretched out with the music and the lighting and all that. I'm a good cameraman a couple feet away from me, you know, and we just got done yucking it up a few minutes ago, you know. So I was spared from the horror of it. And again, and I want to make note of the fact that at the beginning in your intro, you described Dark Shadows as a classic gothic romance show and not so much horror, because I get invited to a lot of horror conventions and you know, speak on that whole genre. And I've never, ever thought of Dark Shadows as being horror. It's a gothic romance. It's based on classics. I think towards the end of the show, they probably started to throw in some real bizarre stuff just to keep the interest of the audience that got a little bit more supernatural and whatnot. But, you know, the way that Jonathan played the vampire character, except for in the very, very beginning, when before he was established as who he really was going to be, you know, with the blood and all that stuff.
Right.
He no longer, I felt, was that intimidating or that scary or that horror filled. He was tragic. He was caught in love triangles and didn't want to be who he was. I mean, I'm a vampire. I don't want to be a vampire. How do I not be a vampire? Like, you can't help but feel bad for the guy.
Oh, true. Absolutely. And that whole... that whole run with the cure, and then the cure doesn't work, and then he ends up by care. Oh my God, that gets just nuts. And he goes through quite a bit.
That was a wonderful, for me as a kid, that was a wonderful time when Jonathan was aged with the prosthetics and everything. That was so, so cool. I would always go into the makeup room after they were done and pick up the pieces they didn't use. You know, I had a wrinkled forehead and a nose, and that was very cool to me. I held on to those for years and years and years, and they just literally fell apart.
You would have got a lot of money off of eBay with those. Oh my goodness, no,
they disintegrated.
Well, it was a while ago, but. All right, look, I have taken up enough time, I believe. I want to thank you for entertaining this old Dark Shadows nerd. So I'm going to bring in Mr. Abbott. He's going to continue the interview. He's going to talk about your life after Dark Shadows. Mark, I know you're chomping at the bit, so no pun intended. So take it away, my brother.
Hey, sir. Mark.
Nice banner.
Oh, thank you. The courtesy of the House of Lentz, I should say. So I guess my first question to you is, what did you do after Dark Shadows was done? I know sometimes people, they are on a long running show. They decide, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to do something else with my life. Or they continue to look for shows similar to what they were doing, or they don't want to do anything within that genre anymore. What did you do?
All true statements. For me personally, I retired at the age of about 13. I think right before I became 13, as I said earlier about doing what I was told, I don't mean that in a bad way, just that's the way it was. You went up to New York, you went into these auditions, you smiled. They said, eat peanut butter. You ate peanut butter and you loved it. By the time I was a preteen, I was full of angst, cranky preteen. I didn't want to do what I was told anymore. You know? Right. I was a little belligerent. And my mother not being a stage mother, my parents not being stage parents, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they said, okay. And I just, they said, there's no point in the effort that they were going to put into it, you know, taking me up to New York, going on these auditions, for me not to be cooperative. What is the point? So that's really what happened. It just kind of ended. I didn't want to do it anymore for the simple reason I want it to be normal. And by normal, that to me at that time, at almost 13, was hanging out with my friends on the corner in Philadelphia. I wanted to, you know, smoke and drink wine and be a naughty little girl.
Right.
That's what I wanted. I didn't want to be that girl. I didn't want to be, oh yeah, Sharon's only here on the weekend. She lives in New York because she's on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to be that person anymore. You know, I wanted to be anonymous. I wanted to be just one of the gang. So that's why I retired. It wasn't anything bad. You know, my contract was up with Dark Shadows. After that, I did some voiceovers and a few commercials, and I just lost interest. That's right. All. You know, had I known then what I know now, I probably would have stayed in the business and sucked it up. Mm-hmm. But you know, that wasn't the case. So for, I guess, from 13 to 25, I didn't do anything that had anything to do with the arts, acting or anything like that. And then after 25, I kind of had my act a little bit more together. And that bug that actors get was juiced up again. And I wanted to do something. And I started to do community theater and, you know, playhouse type stuff. I really, really, really enjoyed that. I did that for about 8 years and, you know, like two shows a year or something like that. I love the camaraderie of it. I love the whole energy of the backstage and the production and the rehearsals. And I needed that. And I loved that. Mm-hmm. But then I went and got married and decided to have children. Mm-hmm. What was I thinking? and there's just not enough time in the day to be a homemaker and a stay-at-home mom and do that too. Just gotcha. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, because as you know, even theater productions, any productions, a lot of time and effort goes into it. It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of prep time that goes into it. And I don't think people always get that. But anyway, so I concentrated 100% on being good at being a mom and a wife and a homemaker for years until my kids didn't need me anymore. And they didn't care if I went away for the weekend. They weren't going to get psychologically damaged by it, you know? Right. So I thought about going back to the whole New York thing, but that was rather distasteful for me. I didn't like the things that were being asked of me. I was young. I didn't want to make any huge mistakes. So I just was uncomfortable with that. But I started to meet at these conventions that I started to go back to. I started to meet a lot of independent filmmakers, a lot of really, really, really talented people, writers, directors, producers, actor, you know, other actors. And I found my little tiny niche where I could help them by using my name. You know, oh, Sharon Smith from Dark Shadows, like it meant something, you know, and I could attach myself to their project and that would help them to promote their project. So I felt like I was doing something good for them. And I loved being around them because of their youth and their exuberance and their talent. Like, I just liked being a part of it. I don't need to be an actress. I don't need to be, you know, like, I've done cameo appearances and small parts in different productions, and that's fine with me. I was an assistant to the assistant production manager in a couple of productions, and I love doing that. I'll empty the trash. I'll help the makeup girl. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just like the atmosphere.
Right.
It's exciting to me. It gets the blood going, you know?
That's awesome. That is really awesome. I guess so. Now, this kind of leads into So we are aware that Dark Shadows had a reboot in the 90s, and then there was the movie that came out. I kind of want to get your impression of what you thought of both of them. And at any time, did anyone from either one of those productions say, hey, Sharon, would you mind doing a cameo or doing a walk-on? Or did anything like that ever happen?
No. They hurt my feelings. No, I'm kidding. Oh. No, I was never asked by any of those projects, which is, that's fine. I don't take that to heart. Right. That's the business. After Dark Shadows, the soap opera, which, by the way, was the first syndicated soap opera ever, which I'm proud of that. There are over 1,200 episodes. I'm proud of that. It's obviously lasted through time and decades. Amazing. There were two movies that came right after that that included a lot of the cast from the original Dark Shadows, which was House of Dark Shadows and Night of Dark Shadows. Mm-hmm. And they were done during a time when I was not active in the business at all. So no big surprise that I wasn't, you know, contacted for that. In the 91 series, I didn't watch it at the time. Mm-hmm. I have seen it since. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that just because of the timing of the show, that it didn't get the chance that it could have had. It kind of got stunted. Mm-hmm. Now, what it actually produced was good. I mean, the actors were great. The production was good. I thought it was entertaining and people genuinely liked it. It just, again, because of the war, because of it getting interrupted so many times, it kind of fizzled, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the young lady who played, there was a Sarah in the 91 series, much different than me, which is fine. It doesn't have to be, you know, the same all the time. Right. She's so pretty. I was like, oh, she's so pretty. And did you ask me about the Johnny Depp version?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Well, we know how we felt. You know,
oh, really?
You know, we're huge fans of the show. And so when the movie came out, I mean, me personally, when I saw the poster, I was like, I don't even know how that's going to work. Like, I couldn't.
Exactly.
And then I saw the trailer and was like, oh, no, this is going in a completely different direction than I thought it was. And I know somewhere in the post credits, Jonathan made like a quick appearance in the film. He didn't do anything like major.
Right.
But I mean, I was curious to know what you thought.
Absolutely.
Of it.
And it's no offense, it's a standard question, and I understand why. It has been very controversial within the Dark Shadows community fan base. It was very polarizing. Mm-hmm. Because you have old school original fans of the original Dark Shadows who wouldn't accept anything else as being Dark Shadows except Jonathan and our Dark Shadows.
Right.
And I get that. They're very loyal to that. Mm-hmm. And then there was a group of Dark Shadows fans from the original who were very open-minded to this and looking forward to, oh my gosh, this has got a big budget. This has got names that people know. This is going to re-energize the franchise of Dark Shadows. Mm-hmm. Not the case.
Yeah.
I think that they genuinely dropped the ball on that. I think it was very nice that they offered cameo spots to some of the original cast, which was Catherine Lee Scott, Laura Parker, David Selby, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. I think that was lovely, but they didn't utilize it. If you sneezed, you missed it.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate. Now, you have to take into consideration that Jonathan was very aged at that time.
Right.
And obviously not probably capable of taking on a larger portion than he did. But it's still, I could see ways where it could have been used a little bit better.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. But anyway, overall, I am not one to make blanket statements or to have very strong opinions based on someone else's opinion. I don't do that.
Right.
So I said to my husband, I'm hearing all this chatter. It's obvious I'm going to be asked or, you know, so I need to go see the movie for myself to form my own opinion. So my husband reluctantly took me to the movies to see it because it's not his thing.
Right.
But I watched the movie. I tried to have an open mind. I genuinely did. It's like, as I said before, I don't expect any remakes to be cookie cutters.
Right.
You know, throw your own energy into it. Throw your own, you know, take on it, idea on it. But stay true to the core of the show. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. So I watched the whole movie, and there were a couple of places in the movie where I verbally cringed. Was like, oh, no, no, that didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I turned to my husband and be like, why? again, still trying to have an open mind and just absorb it. Don't, you know, be too critical. Towards the very, very end of the movie, it went a little crazy.
Yeah.
I felt like they started off with, I mean, the opening scenes, the beginning of it was great. The music, the view, the whole bit. Then it got unnecessary, gratuitous crap in there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, I guess I shouldn't say too many bad things. towards the end, it was like, we're done with this project. Let's just hurry up and finish it. And threw in a whole lot of CGI. That was just not necessary. That was a mush. It was like, just hurry up and finish this movie. Mm-hmm. So when the movie was over and the lights came on, I turned to my husband and I just said, where are we going for dinner? Mm-hmm. Because I had nothing to say.
Right.
I really needed to digest that.
Right.
And I tried to be as politically correct as possible and as kind as possible, because a lot of energy and money and time and whatever went into it. But I'm just not on the side of, hey, it was a great movie.
Right.
It's like, not my Dark Shadows, never going to be my Dark Shadows,
right.
Not my Jonathan. So that's the honest truth, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. So my final question before I pass you off. Have you watched the series with your children or your grandchildren?
I have watched the whole series. In fact, it's a funny story because a fan asked me that years ago. And I said, I've never watched it. I've watched an episode here or there when it reran in the 70s. I watched at nighttime. It came on at like 11:30 or something like that. I watched some of it, but only the parts I was in. I was like, oh, look, it's me. I didn't watch it for years, but when my children were small, in fact, when my daughter was a toddler or a little past that, we watched it because it was a time where you could rent movies from the local video store. And I saw it in there and I brought it home and I popped it in for my daughter to see, you know, see what she thought of it. And she sat there and stared at little Sarah, who was older than her, she was at the time. Mm-hmm. And her only question was, Mommy, how did they make you so small? Because here's Mommy and and you're saying that's you. And I don't quite process that. So we had laughs about that, but she only watched a very little bit of it, you know, and of course I'm explaining to her and, you know, whatever. And she said, can we put my show back on again? Which I think at the time was like Barney or something.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, I was like, of course we can. Mm-hmm. And then I had a stepdaughter that, since she was 3 years old. So when she was a teenager, she used to love to tell people that you could rent her stepmother in the horror section of the video store. And she wasn't joking. So she got to use that information for herself in a fun way, which I didn't mind. It was very true. And then as my, well, both of my living children are in their 30s now. And I think that they bring it up because they feel a little bit proud, even though Dark Shadows isn't their thing so much. They like to tell new friends, my mom was on Dark Shadows. It's kind of like, I don't know, little calling card thing there, you know. My mom was on Dark Shadows. But I think that's about the extent of it. They're proud of the fact that I had done something like that, but I'm just mom.
I hear you.
So.
Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. I'm going to turn this over to Kirk Johnson, who should be waiting in the wings, and he will take it from here. Oh, and hey. Denise. Denise and Kirk.
Hey.
Hi there.
How
you doing?
Hey. We're supposed to be fielding some questions from the audience.
Oh, yeah?
If I remember correctly, yeah. That's what I got here.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
But I do have one question for you, actually, that Mark had written down. It. I'm actually curious about. Now I listen. I know you don't act anymore, and you know you're a mother.
I didn't say I don't act anymore. I act every day with my husband.
All right.
I act like I like it here.
Sharon is sassy. She is sassy. I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm gonna ask you this. All right, ready?
Yes.
All right. Is there one? Was there ever one role or character you have loved to play?
Ooh.
Who would it be? And it'll be television, film, or stage, either one.
I'm going to say no to the one character or scene or show.
Okay.
Because I don't feel I could probably do justice to any of the ones that I really liked. But I can tell you that if I was ever to be in the business and got to pick something that I wanted to do like someone else, I admire people like Kathy Bates and who else? Judi Dench and Sally Field.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I want to be, I would like to be a little bit funny, a little bit naughty, a little bit, you know, like I'm a woman of a certain age and I'd like to own that.
So, have you watched Game of Thrones?
Only some of it. My kids were into it. I couldn't get into it, but I watched a little. Who's in that?
Not Judi Dench. Denise, do you know the name? Diana Riggs.
Oh, Diana Riggs. Yeah.
She was Marjorie Tyrell, I believe it was.
Okay.
And she was a force, and I can see you knocking that out the park as well.
I can definitely see that too. I was watching an episode the other day of when your character was talking to Willie Loomis, and he was like, "You can't be your little girl," and you're like, "Where's David?" And I was like, "Look at her! She's so
attitude."
Yes, I thought it was amazing. Yes, definitely.
I think it's funny. Sometimes people will say to me, "I have the same pout. Is that the right word? When I go, you know, that I did when I was a little girl." I mean, you know, talking that to me.
Yeah, very
tough. There you go. Oh, we have a question.
We do.
From Linda Addison.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to take this, Denise?
Yeah.
Hey, Linda. Linda.
We love Linda. Linda wanted to know, she says, "I was obsessed with Dark Shadows growing up, that music and costumes. Does Sharon have any things, clothing, etc., from the show?"
Unfortunately, no. I do have a mob cap that someone gave me, the little white sleeping cap thing that she wore. It's not the original one, but I have it. I have used it on occasion as a ha-ha at a convention or whatever. You always have to have props. It keeps things interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't have the flute. I don't have the doll. I do. You know what? The only thing that I kept from the show was a couple of throwaway Polaroids that my mother picked up off the floor. They were doing promos for something. Right. And all my scripts. I have all the original scripts.
Oh,
which nice. I have to tell you, they're older than you guys are. The staples are rusted. But I have.
Now I want to see it. Now I want to see all the red marks you put in there. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm not saying this.
They're little kid drawings all through them. Jaren that's loves Tommy, you know. But yeah, unfortunately, the clothes went back to costuming. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was, I don't want this to sound wrong, but it was just another job. It was just another project that I did. And no one, myself, my parents, or even the other character or other actors, had a clue that it was going to make, to have the impact that it has had, that Dark Shadows has had on a lot of people, and that its longevity, 57 years for a daytime soap opera that was like a little bizarre, is kind of crazy. Nobody thought that was going to happen. They were live to tape. It was do them, move on.
Yeah.
Nobody thought it was going to be scrutinized 50 years later and say, you know, oh, the continuity on that's wrong, or that is not a good period piece there, or, you know, whatever. It was a daily, what's the word that I want? It was a daily production. It just, you know, churning them out.
Oh, yeah. And not easy with all that dialogue. I still know to this day how you learn all that dialogue. Oh, my gosh. Every day.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to give them a lot of credit. And people, like they always want to say, oh, you know, these are the bloopers. This is where they screwed up. And it's like, seriously? Yeah. Think about what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Yeah.
Because like you were saying, it was live. So it was like a stage performance.
Exactly.
On camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, whatever bloopers happened.
Filming was very expensive. It was not to be played with. You didn't get to do it three times.
Right.
You had a rehearsal in the morning. You had a dress rehearsal in the afternoon. And then you went on.
Wow.
And those cameras are rolling. You keep moving.
Wow.
Which is, you know, gives you a plethora of bloopers.
Right. Right. Right.
I mean, they've actually compilated them and made tapes of the bloopers.
Oh, God.
You know. Smile and move on.
Yeah.
More important things to worry about.
Everyone seemed professional too, right. For sure. Looks like we have another question.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Girls 957.
Mm-hmm. How was it working with David Hennessy?
Fun, interesting. Mm-hmm. He was very precocious. He had also been on the show for probably almost a year before I got there. So he had the lay of the land. He knew what he could get away with. And he always knew his lines. He always knew his place.
Oh, wow.
That was not in question. So just like in school, when you already have the lesson, you know it.
Yeah.
You play a little bit, you know?
Oh, did he ad-lib? He ad-lib sometimes?
Oh, yeah, we all did. But okay. No, when I say that, I mean being precocious on set and, you know, coercing me into doing things that I probably wouldn't have thought of myself.
Oh, God.
Like playing hide and seek on the set and using the coffin as a good place to hide, you know?
Oh, my God.
Things like that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That sounds awesome.
He was very smart and very funny and very serious about why he was there. We both were. I mean, it was a job, but there was an awful lot of fun going on at the same time.
Oh.
Professionals at a very young age.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's.
I think about it, and I think it's all I knew at that time. I started modeling at 5 years old, so I was in situations where I was around adults who had something to do, and you know, it was their job, and I just was like plopped in it. You do this, you say this, you look a certain way, you know, that kind of, and I just did it. So that's what I knew. So when it came to Dark Shadows, that was no different to me. But when I wasn't on camera or I wasn't on set, I was just a 10-year-old little girl and, you know.
Hiding in coffins, playing hide and seek in coffins.
Right. I could steal a little sip of coffee here and there or, you know, whatever. That's what I did.
Well, here's my question. As playing Sarah, it's not just too disturbing. Can you walk us through the process when Sarah had to die? Because, you know, obviously she
was sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Great scene.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, what's funny, as a I'm 65 years old now. I was 10 years old then.
Yeah.
When I watch it now, and I have watched it within the last year, every once in a while it's on Tubi or something and I'll catch an episode. That scene makes me Philip, which I think is really weird because I'm looking at me, but it's not really me because that's little Sarah. It's always going to be little Sarah to me.
Yeah.
It's very heartfelt scene.
Right.
I think it must be pretty good if it can bring me to tears, you know, or get a little choked up over it. But I actually have memories, you know, drifting memories of that actual set and doing it. I think it has something to do with smells and texture, and whatever. But I remember doing it, and you know, I don't know what my concept of death was at the time. Not very deep.
Right, not especially being 10 years old.
You know, cartoons were my influence. You know? So there wasn't a lot of deep thought in it. Not a lot of prep in it. I was given direction and I followed the direction. And the directions were along the lines of, this is serious. You're sad. You're not feeling good. You know, this is what you do. That's about the extent of the directions. But, you know, you're not stupid. You're 10 years old, but you're not stupid. You get it. Yeah. But it wasn't like death the way I look at it now. It was completely different. I was removed from it. It was something I was following direction on, and I just did. It wasn't this big emotional thing. You were talking about working with Jonathan,
right?
Being within breathing of each other, you know, I was inhaling his breath and he was inhaling my breath. That leaves an impression on you, no matter what the situation is. I think,
absolutely. Right.
So I have that visceral memory of him being like right there, bigger than life, and me pretending to be frail and failing and whatnot. So again, it wasn't scary. It wasn't deep. It was pretend, you know. I had pretended with my parents plenty of times that I had belly aches and couldn't go to school. So I knew how to do that, you know. But I don't feel good. Please don't make me.
We did a wonderful, amazing job. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say thank you for her because she is so removed from me. But it was fun.
We have one from directly from Galactic Terrors themselves. Interesting question here. Did you ever work directly with Dan Curtis? If so, how was the experience?
That's a good question.
Work directly. I'm going to say no. He was there. He was very much there. We crossed paths. I was in his presence when he was giving direction, like in the rehearsal studio. He would come in, obviously, to peruse what was going on and you know, maybe change things. It was not unusual to come in a script that you've had for 3 days and then just like, take out pages, you know.
Oh my God.
That's not happening. We're going to do this instead, you know.
You have 10 minutes to memorize it.
Would you say, hon?
I said you have like 10 minutes to memorize it.
Exactly. It didn't affect me as much as it did the adults, and I'm sure that they weren't thrilled about it either, but that's what you did, you know. You do what the boss tells you to do. He was also a bigger-than-life personality. He was a man on a mission. He knew what he wanted. He could be gruff, but he also could be really sweet. I feel like the general consensus on that set, and this is just my opinion, was work hard, play hard. And I think all of the adults, including production staff and crew, all followed that. And I think that comes from up above, you know what I'm saying? Like the hierarchy of the production. So I'm going to have to say, even though I wasn't one-on-one familiar with him that way, I was a little kid. He falls into that. Work hard, play hard. Dan Curtis was a genius. Did I say that? Yeah, I really
did. Yeah, you did.
You know, I don't know. I might be overstepping my observation there.
But yeah.
When I think back on what he accomplished at that time with what he had to accomplish it with, he did some really remarkable things.
Yeah.
For sure. Dark Shadows included, but also a lot of other projects. So yeah, very cool dude.
Yeah. Oh,
very creative. Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I had the opportunity to meet him once, like years and years later. They had an evening with Dan Curtis, and he was really nice. He was very sweet. I was like,
for sure.
Yeah, he was.
I have a book on my shelf that he wrote too, or it's about. I think he wrote it.
I think it's time for Stephen Van Patten and Mark Abbott to join us.
Cool.
Where are you guys? Let me see if I can conjure you.
Thanks, guys. Up there. You didn't beat me up. You didn't ask me any like crazy questions.
Oh gosh, no.
There you go. We could not do that to the to you need to be in a Game of Thrones. I'd love to see you. That'd be awesome. That you'd like a vengeful ghost too, and just
you planted the seed. Now I'm gonna have to check it out.
just saying.
That's what Kirk does. He's like a showbiz gardener.
Doesn't have like 10 seasons or something?
Something.
Yeah. Wait,
and then there's the House of Dragon too.
Yeah, you can now be in the House of Dragons.
Yes.
You can be like
cool. Ooh, give her a dragon. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. No,
it's a good idea. It's a real good idea. James, where are you? You're supposed to be in this too.
Yeah, oh my star.
There he is.
Oh my goodness.
What a great conversation.
All the insight and the story is amazing. I almost want Denise to tell her Dan Curtis story, but
no.
I'm not gonna put you on the spot.
Tell me.
All right. Well, yeah. Guess what? Well, now you gotta do it, Denise.
Tell me.
Curtis story.
It's one of my most embarrassing moments in my entire life.
That's why we were here.
My mother always said you should dress to impress, always. And I was invited to go to an evening with Dan Curtis, and I was tired, and I was like, well, I guess I should just show up. So I put on a pair of sweatpants, and the back says Hawaii all over my butt, and a little tank top and a little jacket to match. And I show up thinking I'm just going to sit in the audience of like 200 or 300 people. It was an intimate evening with Dan Curtis. There was maybe 75 people, and everyone was wearing like cocktail attire. And I want to say that Leslie Nielsen was there. Karen Black was still around. And there I am, my sweatpants with Hawaii on my butt. And I'm the only person of color there. And I was mortified. And after they showed different clips to Trilogy of Terror and other things, including Dark Shadows, we went and had appetizers and drinks. And I was going to sneak out, but I bumped into the assistant for Dan Curtis. And he says, Dan would love to meet you. Like, me? So he escorted him up to me. And I was like, Mr. Curtis, it is so nice to meet you. Everything you do is wonderful. He's like, it's really nice to meet you too. And what's your name? I was like, my name's Denise. He's like, Denise, it's a pleasure. And that is my story with Dan Curtis. Hawaii on my butt. I'm grocery shopping. I'm getting dressed up. That's it.
See, Denise, you know where you messed up. Dan Curtis is from Connecticut, so you should have had Connecticut on your butt.
It's big enough to fit it.
You know what, Denise? I bet he remembered you.
Yeah, he did.
Hello.
He did.
Miss Hawaii.
Yes.
All right, folks.
Don't go away. I have so much more to say. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Well, let's brew up some coffee, folks.
Do you know about my supernatural experiences?
Yes. Are you being serious right now? Okay. Oh, all right. So you're coming back.
Okay.
I love that idea.
Yeah,
I don't think your audience could use two of me. Another one.
Our audience, they could go for five or six.
Around for six decades. Come on, I got a lot to say.
I have to know, supernatural experiences related in any way to Dark Shadows?
Oh, good question.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Were the supernatural experiences related in any way to Dark Shadows?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I love it.
No, not at all. As an adult.
Ooh. Oh. We have to have her back, you guys.
Yeah. Well, I already, we already established that with the five or six thing. Tune in next time when Sharon will say...
Leave a light on.
I'm just going to share a comment from Linda Addison because I think this really captures the energy tonight.
Yeah.
We totally enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linda. It was a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. So much fun. So much fun. I can't even thank you enough, Sharon.
I sometimes worry that people will look at me and say, who's she trying to kid? She's a has-been. That was a long time ago.
Who? How dare they? No.
No.
Scandalous. See, scandalous.
Those people are not familiar with Kirk Johnson's right hook.
Thank you. I feel safe now.
Yes. Yay. Oh, yeah. No. You're totally safe.
Yeah, call
brother. Exactly.
When you're ready,
All right, we are going to close this out, but again, Sharon, I for Kirk, Mark, Denise, and myself, and James, and everybody else that was great enough to tune in, I can't thank you enough. This was so much fun. The stories and everything, it was pretty amazing. Yes, we should clap.
It was fun.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
For those of you that are confused, yes, this is the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans podcast. We have invaded Galactic Terrace for a little bit. We kind of just said, hey, James, mind if we borrow your living room? So here we are. So there's our website. And Sharon, any other parting words of wisdom or whatever before we close this out?
I always like to thank the fans of Dark Shadows because without them, none of this would still be going on 57 years later. It's all about the fans and their support. And for me personally, Sharon Lentz, and all of the fans that are on my personal Facebook page that are just so supportive and so loving. And I've made friendships over the years because of Dark Shadows that I never could have had under any other circumstances. And for that, I'm very grateful. And thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
All right. We're going to close it out. For James Chambers, Sharon Lentz, Kirk Johnson, Mark Abbott, Denise Tapscott, and myself, we want to wish you a good night and happy Dark Shadows.